Well, hello everyone. You're listening to Back Porch Bluegrass. I'm your host, Paul Trenwith, and we've got an hour of great bluegrass music lined up for you. And we've also got a special treat this time because we have the sponsor of Back Porch Bluegrass in to talk to us, David Shearer from Shearer's Music Works. We're going to be talking to him about the music business and buying instruments and buying strings and picks and guitars and how to choose the best and all that sort of stuff too. So we'll be having a little bit of bluegrass music happening, and then we'll be getting talking to David and you can get some insights into the music business. So we'll hear out a little bit of the theme again, and then we'll get into some bluegrass music and talking to David. Let's get into some of the bluegrass music. We'll listen to Joe Mullins from his album, The Story We Tell, and new album, and we're going to hear from him a couple of tracks, I'm Nowhere Bound, and then The Fiddle Man's Delight. Joe Mullins and the Radio Ramblers with I'm Nowhere Bound. And right now in the studio I have with me David Shearer from Shearer's Music Works. If you say hello, David, I'll check your microphone level and we'll see, get it, make progress.
Yeah, okay. Good morning, Paul. Yeah.
Okay, well, that sounds great. Well, yeah. It's lovely to have you in here.
Oh, thanks very much. Yeah, it's nice to be here.
Shearer's Music Works played a large part in my career because I bought my first banjo from Andy, your dad, in 1965, and it was a Framus banjo that he got in specially for me, and we both stood looking at it when we got it, because I don't think we'd ever seen a five-string banjo before, and I went on from there to spend my lifetime playing banjo.
Yeah.
So I got a lot to thank Shearers for, so thank you very much.
Oh, that's welcome. Yeah, yeah.
You weren't around then.
No, although music has been around in my lifetime, always, really. My earliest memories of my father, my late father, Andy, playing the piano at home. He used to work in a music store down in Wellington, and he came to the Hamilton, I think, early 50s, I think, early 50, 54 or thereabouts. And for a number of years, he worked for a company in Hamilton called Beggs. And they were
I didn't think I realised that he worked for Beggs.
Yeah, so that was, he was the piano salesman there for a long, long time. Mm. And did pretty well at that. He learnt to play piano, particularly jazz piano, when he was down in Wellington during the sort of end of the Second World War. Around that time, there were a lot of Marines and things used to come to Wellington for a bit of R&R.
Yeah.
And some of those Marines and what have you would call in on the clubs and what have you where Dad would be playing, and they'd get up and play. And that's where Dad learnt some of his really nice jazz chords and things that he...
I remember watching him play, and he was always superb to watch. Great.
Yeah.
So do you follow in his footsteps? Do you play piano?
A little bit of piano, but nothing like he used to. Probably guitars and things like that are more my instrument, really.
Yeah. Do you have musical tastes?
Not really. I mean, I think working in a music store, you've really got to have a broad appreciation of everything music. We get a wide variety of people that come in the store all the time from... just every genre of music, really. So you have to have a little bit of an appreciation of all types of music. But I love acoustic guitar. I mean, that's my favourite. Yeah, for sure.
There's rumours that you've got a couple of Martins.
I've got a couple at home. Yes, probably more than I need to count. Actually, probably it's more than a couple. Actually, but I love my Martin guitars. I love them with a passion. I've met Chris Martin several times throughout the years.
Yes.
At different trade shows I go to in America, he's always there flying the flag for his family business.
Yes, and,
He's a very down to earth sort of a chap, and. I've just always loved Martins. They're, to me, the pinnacle of musical instruments, guitars, acoustic guitars in particular.
When we were starting to play in the mid-1960s, there was such a limited range of instruments around, and we rapidly learned that the Martin guitar was what you were supposed to use for bluegrass music and country music and for folk music too, really. And when you got a good guitar, it was a Martin, and the Yamahas were quite good, the Gibsons were quite good, and below that there was some pretty awful cheap guitars.
Yeah.
So we just thought that you had to get a Martin, and you went to the folk scene in the 1960s, and everyone had Martins.
And that was their working tool brand of guitar. As you say, the difference between the good guitars and the beginner guitars was huge back then.
Yeah.
You know, some of the entry-level guitars back in the 60s and 50s were just dreadful, but you know, that's what they were. We live in an age now where they can mass-produce them with CNC machines and you name it. And so the beginner and intermediate quality instruments now are far superior to what they were.
Stunning. I walk into a music shop and pick up a $400 guitar and think, this is great.
Yeah.
You know, boy, if we'd had these, we probably wouldn't have spent all that money when we were younger. That's right. Okay, how do you go about deciding what to stock in your shop?
I suppose part of it is just from your heart. We find with particularly guitars and things, you've really got to pick them up, feel them, feel what the neck's like, listen to the sound, the playability of them, look at what it's made out of, the actual wood that it's constructed from, whether it be spruce, mahogany, rosewood, back and sides. You look at all those different things and just really see whether it's comfortable to play, sits nicely, and
And you do that same process even with the more budget instruments. I mean, obviously there's a big range of budget instruments around. I think of the court guitars. They're stunningly good, yeah. And they're budget guitars. But there's others in the range, and you pick up some, and they're very playable, and others are just less playable.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, there are some guitars out there that we get in for repair that I thought, gee, I would never sell that in my shop. There are some really cheap guitars that you can get. Sort of my advice to people is get the best guitar that you can, that you can afford, you know, without going crazy, because you'll never regret it.
And, absolutely.
One day, hopefully, you'll own a Martin.
Preferably bought from your shop.
Oh, preferably.
What about the other instruments? I mean, you like guitars, I like guitars. I've got a 1966 D21, and that's a real nice Martin, you know, and it's got the big figured grains around the sides of the Brazilian rosewood, you know, and two of those came into New Zealand. Paul Metzers has got the other one, or had the other one. I can imagine that he hasn't sold it. And it's a lovely guitar. So I like those guitars. But when you're looking at banjos, mandolins, I know you sell the Deering banjos now.
Yes, we met the Deering family at one of the trade shows 2 years ago, and they asked if I'd be their distributor for New Zealand. So that's one of the brands that we now sell. Mm. You've been to their factory.
Yes, I did go to the factory, luckily.
But
very much a family business. I talked to Greg and Janet Deering at the festival I was at before I went to the factory, and they weren't at the factory, but they showed me around. There's sort of 20 guys there and 20 people making different parts of banjos, and all very relaxed. And I mean, they're working to times and things like that, but isn't it all a big machine shop, you know?
No, it isn't. A lot of work and thought goes into making every banjo that they make, you know. They talk to some of the best players in the business from all over the world, not just America, and they get input from them. So really, I guess that's how you make a successful business, you know, listen to what people want and try and deliver.
They have done it especially with their Good Time banjos.
Yes.
Which were an absolute innovation at the time, and I can't work out why no one thought of it before. But they probably transformed the company to some extent from being another company that made top-line banjos to being a company that made more banjos than any other company in the USA by doing their... sort of, I suppose, entry-level banjos.
Yeah, for them, yes.
Yeah.
they are, I'm sure, a huge part of their business now, the Good Times. So.
They sound good. They're neat little banjos. They play nicely, and they're those things that you'd get one, and you'd learn to play it, and you wouldn't sell it and get the big, grunty, you know, Holden Commodore banjo or Falcon banjo or something like you need for bluegrass, you'd keep it.
Yeah.
And you tend to, if you're around home, you tend to play different banjos for different purposes.
Yeah.
And of course, Deering have really good big grunty banjos too.
Oh, for sure.
I love some of their playing. Yeah. Lovely clear sound and very intricate work in the neck. I think Greg Deering knows every banjo that comes out of the factory, which is really nice. Other instruments, good range. Mandolins are a little bit different, slightly less common, but still
less common, but still quite popular. Dobro guitars, resonator guitars, sell all the time, actually. We have a huge range of instruments in the store. Yeah. Ukuleles are massive.
Yes,
it's unbelievable how many ukuleles we sell. the wave hasn't stopped. They've been just racing out the door for years and years now.
That was the first thing I ever learned.
Yeah.
Yeah, ukulele. Yeah. You learn three chords and you play that, and all of a sudden you think you're a musician. Then someone gave me a banjo ukulele, which was exactly the same tuning in a banjo body, and I thought I was a banjo player. So, you know.
And what we're finding with ukuleles now, schools are buying them as class sets.
Mm.
So probably when you and I were in primary school, everyone learnt a recorder.
dreadful sound.
dreadful sounding things, and none of them were in tune. And I guess the ukuleles are pretty inexpensive and a stepping stone to other instruments.
Oh, $40, you'll get yourself a very playable instrument.
Learn half a dozen chords and you can play thousands of songs.
Yes,
And funnily enough, ukulele is popular with all age groups, from young kids, preschoolers, to people in their 70s and 80s.
I think every town in New Zealand's got a ukulele group. And I've got, after this, I've got two pupils coming. Two delightful ladies are coming, and they're learning ukulele from me.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just great. They do a fine job of playing, and it's just a very flexible instrument.
Mm.
Yeah.
I mean, other instruments, we still sell a lot of pianos, digital pianos, saxophones, brass and wind instruments, clarinets, trumpets.
Yeah, they're still called for bands.
And violins too. I mean,
And you've got those coloured trombones.
Coloured trombones, yeah. a few years ago we started selling coloured violins, and I thought, who would buy a coloured violin? But now they're as popular as ever, and now the kids love them. And it's like the beginning guitars, they all come in colours. I mean, the flash guitars don't tend to, but they're as popular as ever now. And
fantastic. Well, I've got an album here of a couple of guys playing Martin guitars. Sandy Rothman, who is you've probably got some of his instruction books in your shop. Steve Pottier, both excellent pickers of flat, particularly flat pick style, but also finger style. Sandy plays a 1955 Martin D28. You wouldn't mind that, would you?
Oh, I'd love to have that.
Yeah, or Steve Pottier plays a 1964 Martin D18 on this too. Very battered looking instrument. I stayed with Steve at the festival that I was at this year, and that's how I've got this album. And they're just sitting there picking a couple of tunes. And so let's listen to a tune called Billy in the Low Ground and see if these guitars sound all right. Here comes Steve Pottier and Sandy Rothman. Thank you. couple of great players there. Sandy Rothman and Steve Potty are playing some nice sounding Martins.
Very nice.
Is that how you play them?
I wish.
Yeah, me too. I've never quite learned to be that fluent in my guitar playing. And I'm getting clumsier by the day these days. Yeah. You walk into your shop, and you turn right into the musical instrument department, and you've got so many strings and picks and accessories and things like that. Do you sort of buy them all locally from suppliers, or do you get them in, or do you get things in specifically for people? How does it all work? How do you know what to have behind the counter?
Well, I suppose being in business for 50 odd years, you get a bit of a feeling of what sells and the quantities required, and, yep, at what time of year you need to have certain things.
Oh, right.
The start of the school year obviously is a large focus on us with back to school instruments for students.
Yes.
Guitar players tend to buy their instruments any time of the year. Sometimes it will go around birthdays or Christmas or pay rises or something like that. There's a huge range of accessories for just about every instrument. And the world being a smaller place, I go to a trade show in America every January, or most Januaries, and there I meet manufacturers and suppliers from all over the world. So I bring in products, violins, for instance, I bring in from Romania. I bring in things from Germany, harmonicas and what have you from Germany, classical guitars I bring direct in from the manufacturers in Spain.
Oh, wow.
Accessory lines I bring in from China, the guitar tuners and things like that. So the world is a smaller place, and I think to offer a wide range of accessories and instruments at pretty good prices, it's worthwhile me going to these shows and dealing with the manufacturers directly.
Yes. Have you seen something you really liked and ordered it and it's been a disaster?
No. I'm a little cautious from that point of view, so I haven't ordered a container load of guitars and then found them all to be terrible, so
that's good. There's safety. At the festival I was at, there's the Luthiers Pavilion, which is really interesting, and it's the guys who are making instruments, and I've done a little bit of that myself these days, and but you go in and some of the banjo makers make quite conventional bluegrass banjos, you know, the big sort of grunty, loud and clear, you know, like the top-end Deering banjos, and they're really top-class instruments. But you get people who make different instruments, and there's some beautiful woodworking skills out there. And there were lots of banjo makers in particular, and I looked at ones, and I reckon they looked like instruments that were made for the Hobbit movie. They were the sort of instruments that the Hobbits would have played, and they were banjos, but they had old sort of definitely skins, you know, they were definitely skins.
Okay.
You could just about hear the animal dying, you know. And the woodwork was interesting, the neck shapes were different, the body shapes were different, the sound was different, and the guy was making them, they were real flights of fancy, but people were interested, and they were buying them and saying, hey, this is really cool. And another one was just superb woodworking skills. Every piece was beautifully laminated. You picked up the instrument and it felt like a work of art, you know, that you were handling. And people do amazing things with instruments, so I'm always amazed at those.
And it's nice to see that even in the Waikato here, we have one or two guitar makers now that are teaching other youngsters to make their own guitar. I mean, that's fantastic.
I've been working with Johan Vandergaard out towards Cambridge. I've made myself a resonating guitar, and I made myself a banjo, and I'm probably starting something else soon, and he's instructing people as to how to make. And once you started making, it becomes a bit of a disease, really. And it's really good fun, and it is good, and all that does is just increase your appreciation for the instrument.
It really does. If you ever try to make anything, and then you look at a, well, particularly guitars, in this case, you look at a Martin guitar. Often they say the most beautiful part of a Martin guitar you never see, it's the inside of it. If you look inside with an inspection mirror and how beautifully made they are. The attention to detail is amazing. Mm.
Now, something that I've come to at your shop a few times is where you have demonstration evenings. In fact, I did one with the Deering Banjos, and we probably ought to do another one sometime.
When
you get a few extra banjos in, we'll do that. But you also do them for the guitars.
Yes, we've had a number of times. We've had Diane Ponzio, who's a clinician for Martin. Mm. She has her own guitar model that has been made by Chris Martin for her. Nice. She is a wonderful ambassador for that brand good player as well. And we've had a number of in-store evenings with the Martin guitars, and it's great. We get from the Martin suppliers in New Zealand a dozen or 20 guitars for people to come in and just try and listen to the different tones and what have you, and that's what it's all about, really.
Do people always take a long time to make up their mind about what they're buying, or?
Oh, of course, I mean, one or two people are very spur of the moment. I mean, we've got some serious guitar collectors in the Waikato here. Yes. You'd be surprised, actually, what some people have got.
Yes.
I've got a chap at the moment who's in the process of ordering a custom-made D45. That's going to be...
Oh, gee.
$17,000 to $20,000 worth, but you know, there's people out there that is their passion, and
I'd be scared to play it. I'd scratch it and think, oh, there goes another couple of thousand bucks.
You'd think twice about lending it to your friends.
You would. Yeah. There are collectors all around, aren't there? Okay, now the other end of the shop, you got music.
Yes, print music has always been a big part of our business. Chris Maiden runs that side of that for us. She and her husband John both work for me, and Chris does a great job, and again, she gets music from all over the world. We source most of our music from offshore now. So almost if it's in print, we can get it for you. There's not many things we can't get. And usually there's a lead time of about 1 or 2 weeks, but not much more than that. So, there's still people that like the music books.
Ah, yeah. Well, you got to follow. You sit there. I was sitting down. I got the music for a tune that I know. I found the music for it yesterday and copied it down and translated it into notes that make sense to me, and was working through it. And so knowing the tune, watching the music, seeing that, working it out, it's just a nice process to go through. Mm. I like to be fairly accurate with the music that I play and try and get the notes right. So having a guide is good. I'm not entirely enthusiastic about this, you know, pick up, play a banjo and say, no, I'm going to do it my way. I like the apprenticeship style. Learn to do it properly, and then you can do it your way, rather than forever limiting yourself to your own imagination, you know, and sometimes it's not enough. Mm. That's how I feel about it anyway.
That's right. I mean, we sell a lot of tutor books for, I mean, all instruments, whether it be violin, saxophone, trumpet, clarinet, you name it, piano music, of course, a huge amount of that, particularly for the exams and what have you. So
we got school holidays coming up. What's going to happen in your shop? You're going to be filled with teenage boys looking at electric guitars,
hopefully, and girls, actually. Drum kits always sell, a lot of young girls are playing drums now, so it's not a male domain by any means.
Fantastic.
playing drums, so they're pretty much boys or girls play whatever they want to play now, musically.
We've got a visiting bluegrass band coming on the 16th of October, coming to Navarra Lounge, and that's Mile 12. Bibi playing banjo. She is a brilliant banjo player, and the young lady whose name I have here, and Bronwyn on fiddle. Yeah, so, you know, two girls and three guys, and they play very contemporary bluegrass. We just might have a listen to some of that.
Yeah.
And that's going to be a great show, and it's nice. I guess you'd enjoy things like that, watching people play instruments and seeing possibilities explored in the way the instruments are used.
Oh, yeah. And we get a great kick out of seeing local musicians do well internationally.
Yes.
You know, we've got a, I've got an employee that used to work for me now. He plays professionally in England. So
great.
When my father first started out, he used to employ as schoolboys both the Chris Thompsons.
So right. Okay.
The Chris Thompson from Man from Man, and the local Chris Thompson guitar player. So
I mean, you always employ musicians, don't you?
Yes. We've got some very good musicians working for us, and apart from that, we've got Gary, who's just joined us the last couple of years. He's a fantastic luthier. He used to have his own store down in Tokoroa.
Yes.
And wanted to move up this way. So we're lucky enough to have an in-store luthier there to repair most guitars, and he's very good on the electronic side of things as well.
Okay, great.
So,
things do go wrong.
Yeah. And often we get musos coming in on a Friday afternoon saying, "Oh, can you fix this? I've got a gig tonight." So we do our best.
Yeah. Okay. What about brass instruments? My listeners probably don't buy many brass instruments, but you never know.
Yeah, there's always people after trumpets. I think trumpets probably not quite so much sold from us anyway. It's probably more guitars and things like which are really popular. Saxophone, flute definitely are still popular, but. Acoustic guitars are huge, they always have been. The Waikato, we really identify with that sort of music.
Well, everybody needs to have a guitar
maybe
in the house.
It's been country calendar forever, so...
Well, I tell people that if you've got a guitar, leave it out, because not necessarily for you, but if someone comes and sees a guitar there, and they'll pick it up and play it, and that's always good. To allow visitors the freedom of picking up an instrument and saying, "Hey, I'd love to try this."
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll see if I can find some music to play. Well, this song is we're still on Joe Mullins and the Radio Ramblers, and this is a track called "The Fiddle Man's Delight."
Up your bow, I hear toes a tapping, they're raring to go. So grab your little partner, hang on to her real tight. We'll smoke these fiddle tunes to the fiddle man's delight. Melts and flows. Well, get the string so hot, my friend, too hot for you to hold. Play fire on the mountain till away after dark. Then a little bit of Uncle Penn and a lot of old Joe Clark. Build up a lot of steam. They call it fiddle music. Let's show them what that means. For this is Tennessee on a Saturday night. If we don't burn it down to the fiddle man's delight. Sally Gooden or a little Jenny Lynn. They've got soles left on their shoes, so boys, this ain't the end. With pretty girls a-dancing, oh, what a sight. They're swinging to the bluegrass sound and the fiddle man's delight.
That was Joe Mullins and the Radio Ramblers with the Fiddle Man's Delight. Good hearing. Yeah, we've got Mile 12. This is the first time a five-piece bluegrass band for the USA has toured New Zealand that I know of. We've had a couple of four-piece bands.
Yeah.
And so this is pretty exciting for me. I've been playing bluegrass since 1965, so it's taken a while to get get them here. But I'm pretty excited about the concert coming up too.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Do things like that make a difference? You know, afterwards you hopefully will sell a mandolin or a fiddle or
It's all exposure.
Yeah.
And music does have quite a high profile. I mean, there's lots of music shows on TV and what have you now. And I mean, that's just all good for the music industry as a whole. A lot of schools now are getting into rock concerts, all sorts of things.
These rock quests and things are brilliant, aren't they?
And it's just all promoting music. So from us, that's the more musicians we have, the better. And they get such a kick out of it too, playing in a group with others. So
the thing that I really like about music is music will accept whatever level of competence you want to put into it, and you can get immense pleasure out of playing half a dozen chords on a guitar nice and simply and straightforwardly. You can aspire to be an astounding Spanish guitarist or flamenco guitarist or a bluegrass guitarist and do all these fancy runs, but it's, you can't say one person gets more pleasure out of it than the other, because you can do real simple stuff. And I know when I'm teaching, I like to teach simple stuff for banjo that you get going, and then you can get more complex as you get if you want to. But you can still enjoy a really nice instrument by playing simply, you know. Yes. And that's something that's pretty good. I really like that part. Where's your shop, David? Tell us where it is.
So we're in Anglesey Street, 380 Anglesey Street. So it's right across the road from the Transport Centre. So it's easy to find.
And it's about the only shop in Hamilton that's got the wall of music on it.
It's got a wall of music on it. So if you see that, that's where we are. We have a car park for 20-odd cars, I suppose. So
it's
pretty easy access for shoppers.
It certainly is, yeah. Yeah, okay. Well, we'll listen to some more. I'll let you go and sell some instruments. What do you, when you get back to the shop, what do you have to do? Recover from the interview and then stand there and hopefully someone comes in and buys a D45.
Oh, well, that would be nice, but...
They'll all be in there tomorrow after this.
Oh, I'm sure.
Listening tonight. That's good. okay, I think we've I'd just like to say thanks very much for sponsoring this show.
Oh, you're welcome, Paul. You're doing a great job, so happy to do that. So.
Okay, really cool. Well, hopefully there'll be people coming in and saying, yeah, it's time I learned to play banjo. I had one person who's absolutely inspired me, who came and said this many years ago, rang up and said, you teach banjo? And I said, yes. And she said, I'd like to learn. And she came round, and a lovely lady, and I said, why are you learning banjo? Because I always ask. And she said, I decided there were two things I wanted to do by the time I was 50. One of them was learn to play banjo, and the other one was juggle. And she said, I can juggle and I want to learn to play banjo.
Oh, cool.
So she did, and she's absolutely inspired me, that lady. You know, you set your mind to it, set a target, and she achieved it. I was delighted with that influence. So yes, it's never too late. It gets a little bit harder as you get older. But
that's right. Yeah, young kids, their brains are like sponges. They absorb so much so easily.
Well, at the Mile 12 concert, we've got Molly G playing. You know, she's a young girl that I've been teaching banjo, but she's a guitarist and a singer, really. And she does a fine job, but she can learn things really quickly. Yeah. She's getting there. And the Roadworks band, the Rhodes family, and... they do such a fine job.
They do.
You hear a tune and they can go out and play it.
Yeah.
You know, and that's wonderful. So I thought featuring them at this concert with Mile 12, who are a young band in themselves, is sort of like a reflection of Bebe, who grew up in New Zealand learning banjo as a young teenager.
Yeah.
Sometimes you've got to be conscious of, trying not to be a banjo nerd and people making banjo jokes about you, but Bebe belies every one of those, you know, because she's such a good musician at all levels and such a nice person. So, it's going to be good, going to be a great night. Okay, well, I'll say goodbye, and I've lined up something and I can't remember what it is. 11. Oh, Old Tom. This is Mile 12. Stay, listen to this. This is an instrumental, and then we might play a song afterwards. This is Mile 12 appearing at Navara Lounge on October the 16th, Monday, October the 16th. And you can get the tickets from Under the Radar, or you can email me at paultrenwith@gmail.com. I'll put your name on the list, and you can pay me at the door. And we're selling tickets that way. It's pretty tight packing people in at Navara Lounge, so you make sure you get in early. Here's Mile 12. Thank you.
so damn much, I think I can't get free. On the days I need you, I know you run from me. Well, I'll do all the dirty jobs you think a man should do. Yeah, I'll do all the dirty jobs you think a man should do. The only thing that scares me is promise I'll be true. I'll pay him every time. Till the morning I wake up and I don't have a dime. Like settle down. Somebody calls me up and says, let's get out of this town. Yodelay. So damn much, think I can't get free. On the days I need you, I know you run from me.
Wow. That was Mile 12 with the Settle Down Blues. Before that, there was an instrumental called Old Tom. And that's Evan Murphy on guitar, BB Bonus from New Zealand on banjo, Nate Sabat on bass, Bronwyn Keith Hines on fiddle, and David Benedict on that free-flowing mandolin there. And they're playing at Navara Lounge on Monday the 16th of October, and you need to be there if you're the slightest bit interested in great acoustic music, because they'll be playing some of that. They'll also be supported by the Molly G3 and Roadworks, some youngsters who are doing great in bluegrass music. Well, wasn't that good to have David Shearer talking here and telling us about the shop? So go into the shop and have a listen, and thank them for sponsoring Back Porch Bluegrass. I'm delighted to be sponsored by a company like that, believe me. Oh, we better have some bluegrass music. What else is on? There's going to be a Morrinsville Country Music Concert on the second Friday of the month in October at the Senior Citizens Hall. On the second Friday of the month at 7:30 p.m. Back Porch Bluegrass on the fourth Sunday of the month. That usually makes it about Labor Weekend in October, but we have it anyway. We had a great time just this last weekend with Molly G as the guest, and there'll be something good happening, and there'll be a jam session at the end, hopefully, and it's all good fun. Bring along your instruments and join in. Let's listen to Third Time Out, great band, with a tune called Can't Say Goodbye. There was no hope for you and I.
each lonely night. Dreams of holding you might pass me by. Yes, this old heart can't say goodbye. What did he do? What did he say to make you change your mind? Think I'll just take my heart on down the line. I should have turned my head and walked on by. I wouldn't be so blue each lonely night. Holding you might pass me by. Yes, this old heart can't say goodbye. I guess that this old heart can't say goodbye.
Third time out with Can't Say Goodbye. Lovely smooth sound of bluegrass music, isn't it? Just about time to say goodbye. Thanks very much for listening to Back Porch Bluegrass. I hope you enjoyed the interview with our sponsor, Shearer's Music Works. David Shearer came along and talked to you. He just loves his music, loves his guitars. I think he's got a lot more guitars in his guitar room than we might expect. And yes, he definitely loves his Martin guitars. He's quite passionate about the instruments. So Back Porch Bluegrass will be on again next week. Please tune in and have a listen. You can get it as live streaming or as a podcast from the Free FM 89.0 website. And we'll take it out with the Hamilton County Bluegrass Band with a recording of Fox on the Run.
She walks through the corn leading down to the river. Her hair shone like gold in the hot morning sun. She took all the love that a poor boy could give her and left me to die like a fox on the run.
Like a fox,
like a fox, like a fox on the run.
Everybody knows the reason for the fall. When woman tempted man down in Paradise Hall. This woman tempted me and took me for a ride. And like the weary fox, I need a place to hide.
She walks through the corn leading down to the river. Her hair shone like gold in the hot morning sun. She took all the love that a poor boy could give her and left me to die like a fox on the run.
Like a fox,
like a fox,
like a fox
on the run.
Take a glass of wine and fortify your soul.